Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Toby Hoff, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back as we continue rocking and rolling, and only a couple days away. This weekend, the Tampa Bay Comic Convention, we've talked to a couple guests, and how cool is this? Our next guest, and probably our last guest before we actually go out there this weekend, Richard Karn. Richard, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you very much.
First and foremost, we appreciate your time. Talk about, and we'll start with the Comic-Con that's coming this weekend. Talk about your involvement and how much you enjoy coming to these events.
Well, I do. I enjoy this, and I really enjoy Tampa. Tampa is a very cool city. I grew up in Seattle, which is also kind of a water city, and I'm very attracted to that aspect.
So I'm assuming that means that you've been to the Tampa Bay area before.
I have. I filmed a couple of commercials in the Tampa Bay area.
And how many of these events have you been to?
Comic-Cons, I've probably started, I'm going to say maybe 8 years ago, I did one in New Jersey. And since then, I've maybe done 10.
Very cool. I mean, I know it's a fun event, and we'll get back to talking about the Tampa Bay Comic Convention in a second. Talk about your career. I jumped on the internet when I knew that you were going to be on today, and you know, you hear these stories about, you know, actors and actresses, and they wait months and years to get their first gig. And correct me if I'm wrong, you moved to New York and got one pretty quickly.
I did. As you get older, you can walk back a whole bunch of things in your life and try to decide or try to imagine why things happened the way they did and this and that. I went through a training program, a theater training program at the University of Washington, and our school was part of 10 schools that had auditions for agents and such in New York. And so when I graduated from school, I moved right to New York, and my first week I got a Michelob beer commercial, which was amazing. I mean, it paid my rent for 2 years, and then I didn't work for 6 months.
Plenty to drink.
So Richard,
well, you know, you're doing your job, you know, nose to the pavement, going out auditioning. I mean, I auditioned for a bunch of stuff that I probably wasn't even really ready for. I went up against like Tim Curry in Amadeus on Broadway, and I could have done that role, but I don't think I was ready for that, to show that anyway. But you never know. It depends on the breaks you get. And really, in this business, I've got friends that are really, really good actors that never got that shot, that one thing that took them over the top.
What's that like to go to those types of auditions and, you know, whether you think you're right for the role or not and still waiting for that phone call that may or may not come?
Yeah, it is. It's a mind thing. You walk into a room, and sometimes you walk into a room with a whole bunch of people that are just kind of like you, or they think it's you're that type. And then, you know, later in life after Home Improvement, I would walk into a room and there would be A to Z there. I mean, they didn't know what they were looking for, but they would bring you in. And it was really up to you to show them what they should do, almost.
So Richard, along those lines, you know, we think back to if you wanted to be discovered, if you had talent. Obviously, you knew at a young age you wanted to do this professionally. But people had to move to L.A. or New York and hope for that opportunity. Now, with technology, is it the same? Do people still migrate to places where they film or they're located physically now?
Yeah, I think people do that. But I don't know if that's right for everybody, oddly enough. I think everybody is going to find their own road to how it goes. I just know that you really have to want it. I mean, you can't just go, I think I might want to do this. I'll give it a shot for a little bit. I gave it a shot. I didn't get Home Improvement until I was 35, and I moved to New York at 23. So I gave it a big shot.
Talk about the home improvement, the role of Al Borland. Correct me if I'm wrong, that initially somebody else had that part, and it's right place, right time, or in this case for him, right time, wrong spot, correct?
Yeah. Well, the reason I got the audition for the job was because I had met the producers of Home Improvement, the creator producers. I'd met them 6 or 7 years before that, doing a job in Indiana for $100 a week stipend. You know, it's like you, early in your career, you should say yes to everything. And I just said, okay, well, I'll go do this playwrights conference where they just needed actors to read scripts in progress. And that's where I met Matt Williams and David McFadzean and Carmen Finestra. And then years later, when I moved to California, I was able to call them up and say, hey, I understand you're doing something. And they go, yeah, we are, but you're not right. You know, you're not what we're looking for. We've already casted with this guy, Stephen Topolowski. You might remember him from Groundhog Day. He played Ned, the salesman. And I went, okay. But they go, well, but come in anyways and audition for our casting director. And so I went in, I auditioned, I made them laugh, and then they called me because Steven had gotten a movie and couldn't do the pilot. And they, you know, right place at the right time. I was there. They needed somebody to fill in for the pilot, which means, you know, they could do that and then change me out if the show got picked up.
We'll leapfrog from that show through some other things that, you know, hopefully we'll have time to get back to. But I want to talk about your cameo appearance on Last Man Standing. And I'm curious how you felt from the reaction of the fans and how happy they were when they saw you kind of tying back with Tim Allen.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I went in that day for rehearsal, and it was fun to see Tim. And then on the day of the shoot, the cast is, or the crew is there, and there were maybe 3 or 4 of our camera guys there, and it was like almost like old home week, you know, years later. And they would come up to me and they go, wow, Tim's in a great mood. Yeah, you know, it's like, it's really fun having you here. He's like a different person. And they kind of kept me out of the view of the audience until my entrance. And then when I walked in, the whole audience went crazy. It was a little weird. It was almost like I felt not worthy, but it went on and finally I just had to start the scene. I was not that I was that embarrassed, but it was like, well, I mean, we're here to do this, right? I'm not here to just, you know, get applause.
Was Tim still in such a good mood? Was the crowd still in a great mood when you didn't get the job?
Yeah, you know, I didn't get the job, and that was the moral of that story, was that sometimes, you know, there's a better person out there. And I, at that point, I wasn't worthy to get that job. And then, you know, my next time I'm on the show, I've lost my wife, I've lost my job, I'm drinking heavily, I pick a fight, and then I never got my third cameo, my Phoenix moment, where I rise out of the ashes and become a better person. I never got that. So I'm a little miffed about that.
So Richard, like, I mean, recently announced that Pat Sajak is stepping down from Wheel of Fortune. Obviously, you filled iconic shoes on the Family Feud. And what was that like for you? Was there more pressure than anything else you've done in your career to host such an iconic show?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I guess you don't think of it as an iconic show. I mean, if you go into that and try to feel like, you know, filling somebody's shoes, that's a weird mindset. And so you just put one foot in front of the other and you do the job. And I hadn't done something like that before. I initially said no because I wasn't sure I wanted to be a game show host. I wasn't a stand-up, so I wasn't quite sure whether I could be there in the moment and come up with something funny. I mean, they had writers, or they had a couple of writers that would write jokes, but none of them connected with what was happening in the moment. It was just all kind of stuff that you kind of laid on top of it, which didn't seem organic. It didn't seem right. And I was thinking of this as more like improv theater with people winning prizes. So, you know, when I stepped into it and did it, I wasn't sure. you're not sure you can do it until you do it. And then it was a lot of fun.
Hey, Richard, this is Ed. I'm on the board. I spoke with you briefly yesterday. And once again, congratulations on the success that you've had with the home improvement and moving on and stuff. And for years, you gave me great Tuesday nights. I got to tell you that. And one thing I want to make perfectly clear here, everybody here loves Al, just to make sure you know that. But there's one question I had. One of the episodes, I believe it was the fifth anniversary of Tool Time, where Tim was trying to do some big thing going on, and the budget was all used up, and then President Davidson, whatever his name was, you don't have any budget, blah, blah, blah. And you wound up pulling out a tape of the original Tool Time, which wasn't. And Tim came out in a beard, and you came out clean shaven. How did you pull that off?
Oh my God! I hadn't seen my face in a few years, you know, because I had grown it before doing Home Improvement. I was doing a show, you know, a little Shakespeare play, and I grew the beard up. But you know how we did that was we filmed an episode. You know, our schedule was 25 shows a year. And we would do maybe three shows in a row and then take a week off or 2 weeks off. Well, this happened to do, we did a show and then we would have 2 weeks off, plus the week of rehearsal. So I had like almost 3 weeks to grow it back. End of one of the shows, we did that scene. We tagged on that scene at the end of the show. I went in, I shaved, and then came back out, and we did that little... it wasn't a big scene. It wasn't a big, long scene, but... we filmed it, and then I had 3 weeks to grow the beard back.
The audience response must have been crazy, too.
Oh, you know, when Tim put that fake beard on, he looked like an evil gnome. It was hysterical. The audience, you know, they didn't quite know what to expect. They didn't expect me coming back out and looking totally different.
I still love that name, Mrs. Bin in the Sauce.
And he never got his name right.
It's crazy how you know they think that far in advance. And before we move on to a couple other things, before we run out of time, I'm curious. A lot of actors, actresses, staff, they'll take something, a prop wise or whatever, when a show ends. Did you take anything from the set?
Yes, I did actually. I mean, I didn't take. You know, Tim took the whole Tool Time set. He has the whole set in his warehouse. And he took that, but I have my tool belt.
Well, that's awesome.
That's it.
That's cool. That's cool.
Well, there were a couple of other things. I think I have a plaid dinner jacket and a couple of plaid loafers and things like that. But I didn't take a lot. I really, really was just happy that we had eight full seasons of doing a show that at the time I didn't truly understand. That 30 years later it would be something that people are still, you know, watching, and they have these memories of watching it with their family, with mm-hmm. their grandparents, with their parents, with their siblings, and we just created an amazing memory for a lot of people.
I know that you ran a charity golf tournament for many years. I'm curious, how's your golf game?
Golf game is pretty healthy. You know, I'm probably right around like a 9 handicap. So I don't lose as many golf balls anymore, which is a problem because I don't know what to do with them. I'm looking for a club that needs used golf balls.
How long will you be in the Tampa Bay area? And the reason that I'm asking, and you can Google Steve Monroe later, but if you have time, whether it's Sunday or if you're staying through Monday, I'll get you out on the course with Steve Monroe, former world long drive champ, who, in my opinion, is the greatest golfer I've ever seen in my life. And if you want a fun couple hours, go ride around a course and play with him.
You know, they play a whole different game. I mean, it's driver sand wedge. You know, I got 14 clubs and I use them all.
Yeah, I wonder how many golf courses would stop you. I've been stopped because of how many golf clubs are in my bag because it's illegal.
Oh, well, only if you're playing a tournament that cares about that. But there are a lot of people. You know, I played with Alice Cooper, and his bag. He has nothing but hybrids all the way to the sand wedge.
Yep. And I don't know if you know this. He used to endorse, and then when he went, you know, real golf, he left. The clubs are called Death Sticks. And talking about you don't replace when, you know, somebody moves on and you take that spot. I became a spokesman for Death Sticks when Alice Cooper went, you know, I think it was to Callaway. So interesting. But we had Bob Eubanks on last week, and I asked him about fans from the Newlywed Game or Card Sharks, you know, that come up to him at these Comic-Cons and bring that up. Have you had anybody from Family Feud come up and talk to you at one of these Comic-Cons?
There have been a few people that say, you know, we were one of the families that they had pictures and this and that. I actually ran into Bob Eubanks. I took a picture with him a few months back. So when I became a game show host, I actually found myself in a room with six, game show hosts, which was kind of interesting. You know, Wink Martindale and Monty Hall and Alex Trebek. It was fun.
Wow. But did you ever take down a photo of one of those other game show hosts? Bob told a story last week that he shared a dressing room with Bob Barker, and he took the Bob Barker portrait that was in the dressing room. He took it down and hid it. And then he went home, and he got a call from the studio that said Bob refuses to go on stage until they find the portrait, and he had to let them know where it was.
Oh, that's a good one. That's really good. No, there weren't any. I didn't come in, and there were pictures of the other people there. Otherwise, that would have been a good joke.
So Richard, obviously everybody knows your historic career on screen. I just want to kind of tap in, since you're coming to the Tampa Bay area for Comic-Con, otherwise known as Hulk Hogan's hometown, and the wrestling history. What was it like to be on WWE Raw?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. What did you say?
On your episode of WWE Raw, the wrestling experience.
Uh-huh.
Like, so this is Hulk Hogan, you know, hometown Clearwater, Florida. Ric Flair's here. All the, you know, old school wrestlers, Macho Man Randy Savage called it home. What was it like to be on such a athletic program like WWE versus, you know, TV?
It's a spectacle. It's fun. There's it's something that, you know, was not normally in my wheelhouse, and when I do something like that, I totally appreciate it.
Last question for you. I know that we said it would go shorter than this, but this has been absolutely outstanding. Talk about Assembly Required and then More Power, and where, you know, you and Tim and April got together and kind of put the team back together.
Oh my God, I got that phone call from Tim's daughter, Katie, who they were trying to put this together, and it sounded like a lot of fun. It was a competition building show, and they brought in this wonderful woman who's a master craftsman in her own right, April, and we did 10 episodes, and this was like right during the beginning of COVID. We did 10 episodes, and we were supposed to go to other people's garages, other people's, I mean, they were supposed to come to us, but because of COVID, we had to stay in studio, and then we sent camera crews out to their garages, and so that's kind of how the first season of No Assembly Required happened.
All great stuff. Richard, thank you very much for your time. Looking forward to you returning to Tampa Bay Friday, Saturday, Sunday out at the Tampa Bay Convention Center. And we will be coming up to say hi and maybe continue this conversation Sunday at the Tampa Bay Comic Convention.
Okay. Well, you'll bring your radio crew with you, and we'll tape another show.
We will definitely do that. Count on that. I know we have your address. Okay. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, some swag to wear for spending some time with us, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on Sunday.
All right, buddy.
Great stuff. All right, let's go hit a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Winnie the Pooh, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life,
If you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Richard Karn from Home Improvement, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back.
Shouldn't they put in their character name in the liner so we know who Richard Karn is in like 20 years when they look back? Because isn't he always going to be known as Al Borland?
Yeah, I mean, he could have. But, you know, that's kind of like, and we are waiting for our final conversation of the afternoon. That's like I've always said, you know, you get an autograph from whoever. Hulk Hogan's different because it's Hulk Hogan. But, you know, the guy downtown who's a super nice guy used to be Earthquake.
Tugboat.
Yeah, he was Tugboat. Yeah, he was, right. You know. Sure. I mean, do you want it signed Tugboat, or do you want it signed by his name?
Whatever I'm going to remember in 20 years, I look back, I'm like, oh, that's who it is.
You probably won't remember either.
Because I have baseballs with numbers, and like I have no idea what team or who it was or what the signature is. It could be worth millions, and I have no idea. I could be worth $1 billion right now in autographed memorabilia, and I don't remember who it is.
Well, see, that's why if you were smart back in the day, okay, because this is what I did, is as soon as they signed it, I wrote on a little piece of paper who it was. I stuck it in the box.
Well, you're prepared.
Well, I not normally.
I grew up without paper. Sorry.
Yeah. Without a pen.
We're digital.
You couldn't afford
a
pen.
We're more computer oriented.
Okay.
A little more computer savvy, Randy.
Is that what it is?
When did you use your first computer?
When I bought one.
Like, was it a Commodore 64? Do you remember, like?
Yeah, I had those. Mm-hmm. You know what that's worth?
I bet a lot.
Yeah, I saw something about somebody had like one of those from back in the day. We've been watching a lot of like toys that made history and the computer stuff and, you know, all that. And, you know, it's just unbelievable what that would be worth today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could change the color of the cursor and like, make designs. And
I don't remember the original Pong. Okay, so they just had a whole thing about Pong. And I guess the original was you put a screen on the TV.
Really?
And that is how the Pong was. And then one guy took it from another guy, allegedly, and built it up and this, that, the other. And then it became Pong and then, you know, Xbox.
So who invented used to run down the hill with the wheel and the hoop and the stick?
Well, it's not a wheel. That's a cheese.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a big thing of cheese, isn't it? Isn't that what they do?
I think it's just a wheel, like a wooden hoop.
No. No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think it is.
I think it would be being pushed down the roll.
What other kind of game did you play prehistoric days?
Wireball. Did you ever play Wireball?
What is that?
Wireball is phenomenal.
What is Wireball? Can we repurpose it, like slapboxing, like bring it back?
Yeah. A Wireball is a ton of fun.
A Wireball league. Let's start one. What do you do?
It would be great.
We need wire?
You need a wire. You telephone wire.
Oh, telephone
wire. You know, power lines.
Okay.
Okay? And then what you do is, and again, this is how I was taught. I'm sure there's all sorts of different rules. So the object is you have a tennis ball. And you have teams.
Okay.
You throw the tennis ball up to hit the wire.
Okay.
Okay. If it does not hit the wire and you catch it, it's an out.
Okay.
If you throw it up and you hit a wire and you catch it or and you don't catch it, it's a home run.
Okay.
Okay. If you throw it up and you catch it, obviously it's an out. If you throw it up, you know. So where it's tons of fun is when there's more than one wire.
Oh, different levels.
Well, because it could hit a wire and then hit a wire again.
So it's like playing in the trop.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Sounds dangerous, being in the lightning capital of the world.
Well, you don't play in the rain, moron.
Well, we don't have rules in this league. It's like no hold barred boxing.
The other thing that we used to play was called box ball.
Oh, box ball.
Okay.
Okay.
So we would play it in the street. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know you're sick, but keep that COVID away from me. So we would play it in the street, and the street that I grew up on was three. You know, like, so I don't know how to describe it, like a T.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. The T is a great description.
So, okay. So, you know, you have home and then you have first, it would be down the street and then across the street is second. And again, with a tennis ball, and you had to hit the ball. So it bounced in that box.
Okay.
So, you know, if it goes past like where shortstop, second, third is, you know, it's an out.
Okay.
So that's how we entertained each other.
I mean, at the first game, I think we would get shut down pretty quick by the power company.
Not necessarily. We played it forever.
So do the champions throw their cleats over the wire, like the hang, the dangle?
They sign them first.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
It'd be hard to get Caleb's cleats up there. Those size like 22s or something.
Well, no, I think it'd be easier.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they're bigger. You know, if you take like, you know, Nell's, you know, a size three.
You can launch Nell's. I mean, you could probably throw Nell up there and just have her hanging on it.
Have you seen that girl?
She's a fish.
Oh, my God. Just one day she comes to her parents and says, I don't want my floaties anymore.
Yeah.
And then they took her to the pool, and she's like, she goes, ready, set, go, and she dives. Like, we were in the pool yesterday, and she goes, ready, set. I go, where are you going?
Yeah.
At least know where you're swimming. And she took off and went a foot and a half and realized there was nobody there. And she kind of, like, turned around in a circle and swam back. Or she went to swim to one of her parents, and she was holding, like, a Spider-Man, and she dropped it. She turned around and went back.
Wow.
She's willing to drown to save Spider-Man.
Wow. That's dedication.
That is dedication.
Peter Parker's worth it. I mean,
no,
if you're going to drown, you got to
find it. All right, so the mystery guest, it appears, is on the line. I think you're going to freak out about this.
No way.
After you've been in Brazil for a couple of weeks and we found out that there is no internet, there is no phones in Brazil.
Right.
Let's find out if where this person is. Mystery guest, please check in.
How you guys doing, man? It's been a while.
Matt's looking confused.
Who is this?
You don't recognize this voice? Just because? No, no.
Crazy,
see the difference.
Man. After all the time we spent together.
Hold on a second before you say anything else. When this particular person was here at our roundtable, I said you are no longer a celebrity. You are a co-host of the show. I guess now he's back to being a celebrity because he's, you know, in another country.
No, I'm still just the co-host. You know, I've just been on hiatus.
Oh, is that the second Tampa Bay guy that got deported to Canada? Kluckemeyer went first, and then Bidnock to Calgary Stampeders.
What is up, Caleb? What's going on?
Man, nothing much, you know. Talking to you guys, having some good time. How have you guys been?
Man.
Oh, well, we've been really good. You know, things are good. I've had a couple free weeks as Matt's been in Brazil. A lot of UFC that we can catch up on, so we've got 28 minutes to do that. And it seems like you've been gone for 2 years.
It does. It feels like it to me too. It feels like it. It's been a while. You know, I miss talking. I miss debating with you guys. You know, there's lots of stuff that we can hit on and talk about. So I'm excited to get to it.
What's the weather like? How's football going up there?
You know, we're not playing how we have typically played historically. So we're trying to find our groove. There's lots of new guys on the team, myself included. And so that's been an interesting transition. But the weather is not too bad right now. The only qualm I have is people don't have air conditioning in their house here because it's cold in the wintertime. But other than that, it's been cool. It's, I will say Canadian football is a completely different game than NFL football. The rules, there's 12 players on the field. The way the motions work is different. The O-line and D-line have a yard off, and that kind of changes your technique in different ways. And so it's been really interesting. It's been really, but I've been having a good time hanging out with the guys.
How did either you come up with or the team decide that you would be number 64?
So eligible numbers in Canada is like 70, 90. It's just kind of where the eligibility works. And so that's kind of how they decide the numbers. If you notice, like, there's no Canadian offensive lineman with 70s because it's like a tight end or receiver, defensive lineman. It's an eligible number. And so that's kind of how the number came about. It wasn't something that I chose initially.
I got you.
So, Caleb, do you have a translator calling the plays while you're on the line? Like, how do you get the call from the sidelines?
Yeah, when they talk in the huddle, do they say, all right, we're going to do this, A?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Yeah.
And is it true your uniform's made out of them?
Yeah, the lingo is definitely different. They do say A a lot. And yeah, it was interesting here. But it's such a different thing than playing American football or playing, you know, in the NFL. Like, everything is different. You know, and so it's been an adjustment, but it's been fun, you know. And so I see why certain guys have success in Canada but can't make the transfer to the NFL. And you see why a lot of NFL guys come to Canada and it just doesn't quite have the same success because, again, it's a different thing entirely, the way everyone plays. I didn't know there was 12 men on the field until probably like the second week I was here. And I was like, wait, hold on. There's 12 guys out here? And they were just like, yeah.
So you didn't even realize it the first game?
No, I didn't. I did not realize there was 12 men the first game, no.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so as you talk about the difference, you know, of playing, how about the difference of the fans?
Oh, man. There's not that many fans at most games. Some teams have notoriously loud fans and, you know, crazy stadiums, but you know, I played for the Bucks and the Saints and the Patriots and the Jets, and those are all places where the fans were super, super loud and you have to use silent cadence. And we've played road games where we didn't have to go silent because the fans aren't that loud or there's not that many fans. So it's different. It's different for sure.
So it's like playing at the Apex.
That's a great way to explain it, yes. Most games are like playing at the Apex, yes. But people here are very nice. Reminds me of being in Texas, you know. But yeah, man, it's been an interesting experience. I've had a good time.
So Caleb, are you guys still accepting? Like, is the roster full? Is there any room on the roster? Because DJ Hernandez, brother of Aaron Hernandez, has a killer plan ready. And so, if you guys are drafting anyone, Dennis Hernandez is ready for you guys.
You're an idiot.
Are you familiar with the story, Caleb?
Of DJ Hernandez? No.
Well, Aaron Hernandez, you know who that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Play for the Patriots.
Aaron Hernandez's older brother has just been arrested as he had a big plan that he was going to go shoot up a school.
Oh, wow.
And Matt, being the idiot that he is.
Just saying he's available.
Is trying to make
humor. And he's got a plan all mapped out.
So now you see why you need to you need to finish up there and get back here so I can get rid of Matt.
I know. But I will say the CFL is a lot more strict on player behavior than the NFL is. They are very, very tough on any kind of infractions or, you know, all those kind of things. Something I did want to bring up to you guys, because it's been really, really bothering me. It's been weighing heavy on my heart. Why do all these players in the NFL keep getting busted for betting games when the first meeting we have when you're an NFL player is you can't bet on anything? You can't even play fantasy football with your friends if the prize money is worth more than $250 because you have insider information. So I don't understand these guys who keep betting on their own team to win or to lose when you've seen what Calvin Ridley went through and all these guys went through, and you keep doing it. I just don't understand it. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I will tell you exactly why it happens. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Because everybody, 99.9% of everybody in this country, in this world, thinks you're going to get caught, but I'm not. You know, my friend is trustworthy. My friends that were, yeah, you know, and people don't realize that, you know, you tell one person, hey, I did this. He tells one person before you know it gets out. Everybody thinks that they're untouchable. And blatantly saying it, they're stupid because it's stupid to do it. They're losing, you know, as you know, in some of these contracts that people have been suspended, you know, that they have, you know, to win a $2,000 bet. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But that's why everybody thinks that their person, you know, is you know, their brother and, you know, their bookie that they're going with, they'll never repeat. And that's how it gets out. That's why everybody thinks it won't happen to them.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I'm just like, dude, you're making millions of dollars. Or at the bare minimum, you're making what the league minimum is in the NFL now, $700,000. And you're making like a $1,500 bet. So you're losing, and the chance of winning yourself $5,000 over the chance of losing $750,000. It doesn't make any sense to me. I think it's so dumb. And I honestly don't want to sound like the old guy, but I have no remorse for any of those guys who get suspended because you're just, that's dumb. It's dumb. It's
I agree with you 100%. But you know one person that I think won't ever do that? Your boy Mbappe.
Who? No, because he is, I mean, listen, I love what the Saudis are doing. I hope they make a football league, you know, like an American football league, because I'm trying to sign up for there for a year and see what they're talking about.
Well, Taylor, if that doesn't work out for you, I would like you to draft you as the first player in the line ball league. Randy and I have created a league. We're going to throw your shoes.
It's
line ball. Was it wire ball?
It's wire ball.
Oh, it's the wrong league. Okay.
You are an
I'm going
to
send you a new contract. But, Caleb, if that doesn't work out for you, we're going to throw your shoes over the telephone wire in a celebration of victory. So I'm going to need you to send me a new pair of cleats because, you know, we have the tournament this weekend. And then make sure you send the address to me because Randy sent Sean Strickland's care package to a wrong address. So
wrong
okay, let's talk about Sean Strickland and him now fighting Israel Adesanya. That's like the proposed fight because Dricus is injured or whatever he's dealing with right now. How do you guys think that fight goes? I think Izzy washes him.
Okay, well, first of all, we'd like to play for you. We had the opportunity to sit down with Sean Strickland at International Fight Week. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
Yeah, we can't play it on FCC radio.
Okay. I'm sure you can't because he's not very PC.
it was hilarious, and I'll send you the audio of it. It was hilarious. I'm like, you know, we want. He goes, no, we can talk about blank, 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 blank. It definitely was funny. You know, Israel is a different guy. You know, and you know what I think of him personally, and you know what I think of him professionally, and one has nothing to do with the other. It's kind of like the Warren Sapp thing.
100%.
You know, it's. Whether you like the guy or not, Israel is without a doubt one of the greatest fighters, one of the greatest IQs. When he gets in the octagon, he is unstoppable. Duplessis, I kind of like. He's been on my show twice now, or the show twice now. I really like him, but Israel is Israel.
Yeah.
But he is. I just don't know if he's at the level of Israel. And again, as long as Israel doesn't,
I don't think so.
you know, pull an Anderson Silva, I don't see Israel losing to anybody anytime soon.
I think the Israel's only boogeyman was, you know, Alex Pereira. And now that he's beat Alex, and Alex doesn't really want to make those weight cuts for 185 anymore, and Alex is probably going to move to light heavyweight or heavyweight, which I think he will be a real contender in. I don't know who else can handle Izzy in his prime as long as he keeps, you know, that energy. And one thing that he does really, really well is he finds a way to get motivated for fights. You know, he has that Tom Brady, Michael Jordan-esque mentality of, I'm going to find something to get pissed off about and make this fight like a thing where it's, you know, like it's something big and something that drives me, something that makes me work. And I think that's what the special guys do. And I'm excited for him and the Sean Strickland fight because they've been having their little back and forth since the first time him and Alex fought, you know, at the press conference. And so I think that is going to be a really interesting press run for the two of them because Sean, as we all know, has some of the best quotes and some of the craziest things that he says on stage. And you know how Israel is. He's an entertainer. He knows how to entertain you pre-fight, press conference, in the cage, and post-fight. So I think that's going to be a much more interesting lead-up than it would have been with Drigas. But I do think that the whole Drigas thing, because of the racial undertones that people like talk about, that would have been a good fight. But that division, man, is really interesting. It's getting really, really interesting. I think it's good.
Speaking of weight cuts, Caleb, any chance you could get down to about 236?
236. The second that I call it quits and I retire, I want to be at least about 250. And 236 might be a little bit light. I have not been 236 pounds since I was in the 7th grade.
Just so you know, 236 pays $262.5 million for a five-year deal for the Chargers, Justin Herbert, who signed a massive extension with the Chargers.
He did, and deservedly so. He's a talented quarterback. And again, like, the thing that people think about now is, like, oh, you have to win Super Bowls to get a lot of money. The NFL is a business. You have to put butts in seats. People want to come watch you. And if you can put up points like Herbert does and he goes for a bunch of yards and stuff like that, you're going to get the big bucks because guys want to come see you. What's been really interesting to me is this running back market that's going on right now and how guys who are stars can't get paid. You know, like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs having 2,000 yards and they're fighting to get a $9 or $10 million a year contract and they can't get long-term deals. You know, and so that's been really, really interesting to see kind of how the league is shifting. What are you guys' thoughts about that?
Well, it's ironic because I had Barkley, you know, his name down and circled, and I was going to bring that up next. And since you did, thank you for co-hosting the show like you always do such heights. Explain. I don't understand. So offered or not even offered, they put him under the franchise. He doesn't want to sign the franchise. Yeah. The day of veterans reporting, he agrees to $11 million, which was only $900,000 more than what they offered him. So he held out and all of this for $900,000. To me, that doesn't make sense.
You know, I genuinely believe that he is a team first guy and he wants to be there for his teammates and he wants to play football. And he made the choice based on that. Because we look at the last running back I saw hold out, Le'Veon Bell and Zeke Elliott, right? And you can say what you want about those two guys after they signed their contracts because it wasn't spectacular seasons after. But the running backs touched the ball more than anybody as far as getting carries and physical hits. And those guys give you production. Le'Veon Bell for a few years was the best running back in the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott, his first 4 years, was the best running back in the NFL. So I think those guys deserve to get their money. It's just understanding how to keep them fresh. And the NFL has changed the rules to protect quarterbacks so much and receivers so much, but there's no rule to protect running backs. So running backs still get the same wear and tear, and now they get them valued. But, you know, it's definitely a touchy subject, and I don't kind of like how I was looking for him. Because those guys are special. What Josh Jacobs does is special, you know, for the Raiders. And what you look at Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, when they rush for less than 100 yards, he's like 1-18 as a starter.
Right.
When they rush for more than 100 yards, he is a phenomenal player now. And he gets the big contracts, and the guy who helped him get the big contracts doesn't get his big contracts. And so it's definitely something that needs to be talked about and worked on, and hopefully it gets fixed now.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I had the four-letter network on, and everything that they do and talk about to me is, I got to be careful because I want to make sure that I'm on the radio next week. But they were recommending, listen to this, they were recommending that all running backs, the day of the game, call out sick. This is the NFL.
Well, UPS did the same thing, didn't they?
I understand, but sometimes that's what it takes to make a stance and make a change. And I know it's not something that people want to hear or people want to see. And you might think that they're divas because of the amount of money they're asking for. But how else do you change? Look at the actors and the writers. They're like, hey, we're not working anymore. We need these things changed. The way the streaming is going now, the way all these things are going now, we need to define what a stream is so we can get our residuals. And unless you make a stand in some way, shape, or form, those things don't change. And I feel like for the last however many years, a running back has been kind of phased out of the offense because quarterbacks are protected. Most quarterbacks are dual-threat quarterbacks. You don't have a lot of quarterbacks who are just stationary in the pocket. Tom Brady's gone. Peyton Manning's gone. Every quarterback now has the ability to move. And so that devalues the running back, you know? And so I think that they have to find a way to make their own stand. The NFL CBA is not up again until 2030. So they have to find a way to make a stand. And, I definitely understand it. It's not an easy situation for anyone.
All right. Here's my two comments, and then Matt will say something stupid, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
One, happened to the fullbacks X amount of years ago. Where are the fullbacks? There are no more fullbacks. But my whole thing is... My thing is, if you sign a contract on both sides, you know, and I understand it's not on either side. You know, the player can be let go, which they shouldn't be either. Should be guaranteed. This is the deal. And until your contract is up, you play for what you sign for, just like we've talked about it with the UFC. You know, you sign the contract. If you sign the contract, that's what it is. Negotiations are negotiations. If you don't like the deal, don't sign it. Somebody will take it.
No, for sure. For sure. I agree. And if you sign it, then you shut up and you play under it and you don't gripe about it, right? But the money, it's strange to see left tackles making $30+ million a year and then a guy like Saquon Barkley, who accounts for over half your offense, is making 10 or fighting 10. For $11 million, you know? Yeah, like it's a strange thing to see, and and these quarterbacks are getting $300 million deals, and Patrick Mahomes got a $500 million contract, and they're going to restructure and give him even more money, and deservedly so, because I think he's going to be the GOAT when it's all said and done. But there are teams that have running backs by committee, and those guys shouldn't get paid $16 million a year. But what Saquon does for the Giants, he should get in that $15 million range. What Christian McCaffrey did for the Panthers when he was healthy, I played against him and played with him. He deserved that money. And look how he changed the 49ers that fast. The 49ers couldn't hang out with the Chiefs before Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey comes into the team, they look like a whole brand new team, you know? And so some of those guys are game changers, and you should get paid as such when you're a game changer. It shouldn't be because, this position doesn't deserve this money. No, this player deserves this money. And I think that's how it should be handled on a player-to-player basis.
I agree. And before we talk, we only have about 8 minutes left. Before we talk about this weekend's UFC, I can hardly wait to hear what stupidity is about to come out of his mouth.
Well, I have a proposal. And Caleb, you're a smart businessman. Maybe you want to invest in this idea. But we started an expansion team backed by the Teamsters. When the NFL running backs hold out, we go and get all the UPS drivers that held out last week or for their contract.
And the Raptors.
We put them in because they can deliver the ball to the end zone on time. And I've seen guys hop barbed wire fences out in Vallejo, California, like E-40. I've seen people dodge pit bulls down in Miami. I mean, these drivers are talented. They're hopping fences and like juking and jiving, and packages always get there safely on arrival, on time. And so I say, let the crybaby running backs run away, and we put in the UPS drivers who deserve a pay raise.
All right, will you now shut up so we can talk some serious?
And I'll be the coach.
Okay, let me just answer his question. Good luck to those UPS drivers running away from Levante David and Devin White and Vita Vea and guys of that caliber. It's not happening.
Well, you know, since it's you mentioned happening. It, and you brought it up, and I really want to talk about the UFC before we run out of time. You mentioned Devin White. Is Devin White even going to be on the field?
I think he will be. I think he's in his fifth year now. That's the biggest money year. Guys will hold out or hold in or demand a trade. But at the end of the day, like, you don't want to get fined $50,000 a day and miss out on a $20 million deal, you know? And so I think he'll play. I think he will hold out. Tampa just doesn't have the capital to pay him when he wants at the moment. But I think he plays for Tampa. He's a good player. And maybe he might be somewhere else next year, but I think he plays this season for sure.
Okay, let's talk about the UFC this weekend. The BMF belt back up online. But before we talk about that, when was the last time that Tony Ferguson, everybody looking forward to Tony Ferguson, and I believe he's like a 400 underdog to Bobby Green?
Yeah, so the last time was when he was fighting Michael Chandler, and we saw how that ended. But one thing about Tony Ferguson, the same thing with Michael Chandler, they might not win a lot of fights, but their fights are entertaining. And if you can entertain people, you make a lot of money. And so I'm always excited to watch Tony Ferguson fight. I also want to talk about Tom Aspinall and his comments about, you know, being front row at the Russian guy, I forget his name right now. He wants to be front row there, and he wants to watch that and then go fight John Jones. And so what do you think about Tom and his return? He looked really good in his last fight last week. Got the guy out there early. And what do you think about him and possibly fighting the GOAT of the UFC, John Jones?
Well, and just to correct you, and since you're so far away, I feel like I can correct you. He's the GOAT heavyweight, not just the GOAT of UFC, in my opinion. You know,
I think he's the GOAT heavyweight.
Say that again?
I agree with you. He is the GOAT heavyweight, but he's the GOAT of the UFC, period. I don't think anybody...
Right.
Has the same resume and has done it as long in both divisions. I think it's unreal.
No, I agree with you. I thought you were saying just of the UFC and not Pride and not, you know, anything else. I thought Tom looked good. What I would like to just change it, and again, we're going to run out of time. Next time, we need to do an hour and a half with you next week. I don't like them bringing fighters in after what happened, you know, at the last fight with Israel. I don't like that stuff. And, you know, that's BKF-ish. That's, you know, the UFC's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be more, you know, and BKFC's not supposed to be like that. You know, I just think it dampens, you know, the product. It takes away from whoever just won that fight. And so I don't want to see Tom get, you know, in the cage after that fight. But I do think he goes on and he beats whoever wins that. And I think he does fight John Jones soon, if John beats Stipe.
Well, John's going to beat Stipe. And I think John's going to beat Stipe really easily. Stipe is, what, 3 years out of his last fight against Francis? He didn't look very good against Francis. But again, it is Francis. I think John does away with Stipe. Stipe is, what, in his 40s right now? You know, he's been a firefighter. It's tough to kind of come from that, but I think he gets a big payday from fighting John Jones. But, you know, I don't always like the guys coming in after that fight, you know, and doing the whole promote thing for the next fight. But I think that moment that Drake has had is the biggest moment of his career.
Probably.
You know, so I don't think it's always a bad thing to have that. Sometimes it is because the guys aren't, you know, like the one with Sugar Sean and the Jamaican brother, I'm not forgetting his name right now.
Aljamain Sterling.
The champion. Aljamain, yeah, with Aljo. Yeah, that one was a little awkward. It was a little weird, and you know. But I think the one with Drakus and Izzy was the biggest moment of Drakus Duplessis' career, and people are going to remember that forever. You know, like it's almost like the John, not the John Cena,
John Cena. You can't see me.
Yeah, not John Cena. Yeah. What's his name? The big boy, the Wisconsin boy from WWE.
Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar. Like the Brock Lesnar one. Like those kind of things. Like those are big moments you remember. I don't think everyone should have the right to go in there. But because of the buildup and because of what Drake has said leading up to that and the way he called Izzy out, I think that was a really, really big moment. And I wish that fight would have happened because I think it would have been huge. A lot of guys don't promote fights the way Izzy does and the way John Jones does and the way Conor McGregor does, you know? And so those moments I appreciate, but I don't think everyone should have the ability to walk into the ring afterwards and call somebody out, I think.
Usually we thank the guests by coming on the show and giving a care package. I mean, did you send me a picture of your ID? I need some universal health care. I got COVID back from Brazil. So send me that ID. And have a great time up in Canada, Big Dog.
We are out of time. Can we get you back on next week?
I'll be on next week, guys.
There you go. Love you, man. Caleb Beninat's going to bring some teams down to us.
Who team, baby?
Caleb will be back in next week. Big UFC. We're headed to Salt Lake on Friday. Want to thank all of our guests. Want to thank all of our listeners. We will talk to you again next week.
Go Brown.
This is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8 Men Strong.
Brown can do for you.
Snap Zone and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.